Chapter 61. Celeste had lunch with Duane. They shared the warmth of the food at the New Mexican place in Hackleburg, and the warmth of each other's company. Sometimes Duane could still be a priest, but that part of him was broken, and they were both more comfortable as friends. After Mandy died, some talk of her seemed always like their ritual. Celeste said that she stopped by her car next to Mandy's garden and was so pleased to see the new buds. Duane said that he felt her there. He felt her everywhere, and he wasn't sure how to live with this mixture of her presence and absence. "I've started going out more," said Duane. "Where have you been going?" Celeste broke off a piece of her edible salad bowl and chewed with the crunch that she felt was a bit too loud. Duane felt like it was a mixture of confession and declaration. "I've been spending time with two women from the parish," said Duane. He met her eyes. He wasn't looking for forgiveness as much as he was asking for acceptance. Celeste tried hard to chew her crunchy salad well enough so she would not choke, and that she would soon be able to respond. She did not want her response to be gagging. Celeste thought about Mandy. She would want Duane to move on with his life, but this fast? She drank some water. "Has it brought you comfort?" she asked. Duane tried to make a joke. "Well, it's brought me sexual release," he laughed. Celeste plucked a piece of chicken out of her salad bowl, held it down with the fork, and began slicing off small pieces without eating them. She did not respond. Duane continued. "No, it doesn't bring me comfort. It distracts me." Celeste met his eyes and said, "You know, this is dangerous for you. What do you think will happen in the parish?"
"I don't see why anyone should care," said Duane.
"Are they married?" said Celeste.
"One is separated. The other, I'm not going to keep seeing. It was just one time and isn't going to happen again," said Duane.
"What are you going to do about the garden?" said Celeste. "Both of the women want to work in them," said Duane. Celeste's eyes flashed dark, and for a moment, Duane could see a fierceness which was older than she was coming from her. She made sure the look registered in Duane's brain. "That's not a good idea." When Celeste got back to Sunrise, she was greeted by the news that Keats had been humping Gladys Schindler's leg. Keats was in her office playing with one of Ron's chewed slippers. Judy Campbell delivered the message. She was giggling. "One minute Gladys was petting him, and he was sitting there nicely, and then he just turned and put his forepaws up on her leg and began to hump her. It was really funny to watch his little hips going at it on Gladys." Celeste stared over at Keats. He did not look guilty. He did not look afraid. He was working his way inside the torn heel of the slipper. She was going to have to talk to Ron about having Keats castrated. It was not an easy topic, and not one to which he reacted logically. She was going to have to point out the necessity of it.
He hadn't taken it well the first time, and this wasn't going to be any easier. What was it about their attachment to testosterone? She sat at her desk, and Keats came over. He was a little too big for her lap, but he didn't know that. She rubbed gently in back of his ears and began to pant lightly. Then she stopped and settled into her callback list.